Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Matchball 30, sponsored by Calidus, leading consultants in health and safety, project management, asset management, environmental services and training. Visit wearecalidus.com for more information.
The Matchball.
Welcome to the show, our game-by-game journey in real-time 30 years on through the 1991-1992 season, and a very happy Easter to you from Dan, Michael and Moscow White. Easter Saturday, we are here in 1992. Lots of football being played over the Easter weekend, as per usual. Is this fair? We play again in 2 days. We're playing Coventry in a couple of days, and we've got to go to Anfield today and face Liverpool.
Does seem a bit harsh, but I mean, everyone's doing it.
To that game in a bit. First, let's round up the Leeds United news. What's happened this week then? Plenty of stuff in the pipeline.
Well, Scum have won something, which is a bit of a shame. They've won the Rumbelows Cup, whatever that's worth. We didn't want to win it anyway.
Do they get a telly for that? Or they can rent one.
Yeah, they've got to give it back eventually.
Yeah, they get a loan of it.
Yeah, they played Forest last week, so we played Chelsea. And then on the Sunday, they played Forest, Rumbelows Cup at Wembley, 1-0. Brian McClair scored that goal for them. There is one fringe benefit for us, and that's that we are pretty much guaranteed European football now, because third is going to be enough for a UEFA Cup spot.
I think the other benefit as well is they're getting cocky. Now they've got a trophy, they think they can go and win another one. There's Ferguson's comments after the game.
The team can go and enjoy the last six games. They've done something they set out to achieve this season. They've won a trophy. But we've got to face the secrets of 4 games in 7 days. But there's no danger at Manchester United players tiring. The players have something left in reserve. I'll be amazed if we can't handle these matches.
Oh, sounds confident.
Steve Bruce as well. They keep talking about their... They seem to think that having, you know, Mal Donaghy in reserve gives them, like, they'll just march to the title. He said, war depth in war squad is war strength. Even if the title race goes right to the last D, we are ready for that. Pit hinny man, pit hit man, woman man, pit man. That's Steve Bruce.
I mean, the confidence was not necessarily misplaced, because they did also play Southampton since we last.
But we were talking about a lot of football being played. Poor Southampton. They had to play on Tuesday, having played the previous weekend, and then on Thursday. So 2 midweek games in a week. So I think they played Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then they're going to have another game like this weekend.
I don't care about on this weekend. But the one on Thursday was a disgrace. They should have never had to play that. Particularly with Man United's massive squad that they can rotate. What have Southampton got that they're trying to eke a little bit more out of Matt Letizia?
I mean, we took 2 Wallaces off them, so left them very short.
Yeah, I mean, we're laughing about it, but unfortunately it is a significant blow to our title hopes, because they beat Southampton 1-0 Thursday night. Top of the league they are, 2 points clear of us, and they've still got a game in hand. So is that it, really, given that we're at Anfield today?
It makes it difficult, but I would love it.
What, if we pipped them to the title? Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to that game, just one more thing to wrap up, and that's we've got another bit of news on the bond scheme. You know, we're building that fancy new East Stand with the biggest roof in the universe.
That's going to fall down.
Well, we put the bond scheme out to fans where you could pay money up front and you get money off your season ticket over a number of years. Faced a lot of criticism, despite being able to ring up Ellen Road and speak to the Bond girls, because the...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's raised £2 million or thereabouts. So looks like that could be a goer, helping to fund the East Stand.
I mean, if we can raise a bit more, we can put some posts in the front as well, just to keep the whole thing standing, because I'm really not convinced by it. But yeah, I mean, they've used it as a way of trying to flog some more season tickets as well, because they've gone, oh, well, we've managed to somehow come to some agreement with the safety people that we can have a few more tickets in the cop. And it's like, well, if you buy a bond, maybe you can have a season ticket. Maybe you can... It's basically, Fotheby's found a way of getting like 700 quid out of people who want to go to two games, which, you've got to say, fair play to him.
Well, it's 500 it's quite clever. 500 quid.
Let's not... it's 700 quid of
discount, yeah,
of
yeah.
value you get back, isn't it? Sorry.
Yes. Ken Bates, that fella at Chelsea, they now own their stadium.
Mm.
It turns out they didn't own it.
No, he's been trying to get it for years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, the freehold. So I don't know. He likes building stuff, doesn't he? So
yeah.
He might get rid of the cars behind the goal.
Is it right? They've been after it for like 10 years or something like that. Wow, that's a lot. Look at that. 13 million quid they've paid for that stadium. Mind you, it's a bit of prime real estate in West London, isn't it?
It's probably worth it. I mean, he bought the club for £1.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily increased in value since then, but getting the bit of wasteland that they kick about the matches on in between the two banks of parked cars might be worth something to somebody. But you, I mean, you don't want to build anything in London, do you?
No.
Everything's moving north. It's like the Quarry House is nearly finished, isn't it? So everybody's moving up here.
Oh, so is that a
waste of time?
That big DSS thing?
The Department of Health and Social Security all moving out of London and coming up north. And they couldn't be more enthusiastic. There's definitely not a lot of people refusing to move to the dark, mysterious world of Yorkshire.
The dark satanic mills of Yorkshire and so on. Well, speaking of places you don't want to go, we're in Liverpool today. Hey, we're in all yellow, which is an interesting sartorial choice. Liverpool in their red Adidas home kit with those three big stripes on the chest and the shoulder, isn't it, rather, and then on the shorts as well. Lining up like this in the match, the two teams, Lukic, Newsome in the number two shirt, Tony DiRigo, David Batty, Chris Fairclough, Chris White, Steve Hodge, Rod Wallace, Lee Chapman, Gary McAllister, Gary Speed, Cantona and McClelland on the bench. Liverpool lining up like this, Grobbelaar, Venison, Rob Jones, Dave Burrows, Steve Nicol, Ray Houghton, John Barnes, Ian Mulby, Michael Thomas, Dean Saunders, Ian Rush, Souness and Moran sharing the management duties, because Souness has been off having his triple heart bypass, hasn't he? So Ronnie Moran is taking care of things there.
Picking the team still, apparently, is Souness. But yeah, lazily decided to not be on the bench today, just because he's all chopped open.
There's a couple of weird things in the teams there, in that Newsome is in the number two shirt, but he basically played centre-back in this because Chris Fairclough was moved out to right-back to deal with John Barnes and did a decent job on him, to be fair, in what was a difficult game. But we will get through to all that. And what about Liverpool's lineup? Lots of very full-backy.
What about Gordon Strachan? Where is he? Our best player?
Not even on the bench. The inspiration from the depths of Division 2 all the way to here. I don't know if his back is getting so hurty that he can't play the rest of the season. I don't know. It's not clear whether he's dropped, injured, whatever, but he's not there. And it's,
or is it good management from Wilco, though? Because we've got this game in 2 days.
Could be. They're saving him for Coventry and just decide to... I mean, the thing is, Steve Hodge, we spent a thick end of £1 million on him in the summer, and we've just kind of had him sitting watching our midfield being absolutely superb ever since. So he's an England international. He's been to World Cups. He's won things with Nottingham Forest. So he's not a bad person to bring into the team. But without Strachan, he just doesn't look like Leeds, does it? Which is a weird thing to say about...
McAllister pushed onto the right.
Weird thing to say about a little scum bastard. Yeah. Well, yeah, McAllister has played wide when he was back at Leicester, but it's very unusual. We were talking last week about us getting back to kind of the team, knowing what it's doing from earlier in the season, but I guess still just trying to deal with Mel Sterling not being there and Gordon Strachan being 72 years old.
with the back of somebody who's even older.
Yeah, it means we have to do things.
Anfield, not a happy hunting ground for us either. A couple of decades since we won anything there. Admittedly, we spent 8 years in Division 2, so there is that to factor in.
Liverpool have been quite good, though, haven't they, in that period, it's worth saying.
Have they, really, though?
Yeah, I think they've won one or two things.
To the game, and the story of the game is what? Well, nil-nil, but that doesn't tell the full story by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think we were a little bit lucky to get away with this? We set up a little bit more defensively, trying to contain them.
We owe Lukic quite a bit after this game, I would say. He's a few really, really good saves, and then a number of decent saves. Ones that one in every five of them kind of creep in. So, yeah, he was faultless today.
And despite losing the advantage in the title race, our fans behind the goal, absolutely amazing. And with fans behind the goal, Lukic just said in the aftermath of this that when he was defending the cop end, he could hear Scouse voices on the cop
shouting for Leeds, which is an odd scenario because obviously they don't want Man United to win the title. So I guess 0-0 in many ways is a perfect result for them anyway.
It's a bit like the other week at Main Road when Man City fans were coming on the team bus saying, sort of apologising for having beaten us 4-0 and cheering the players on to go and beat the Scum. It's weird because Scum are kind of like the nation's choice, the team that everybody thinks they want to win the league, but anybody who actually likes football just really fucking hates them and would rather absolutely anybody else wins the league because nobody wants to put up with them winning something. They can have the Rumbelows Cup, whatever, but anything beyond that is just doesn't bear thinking about. And I think the other contrast from Main Road or the link is Lukic, because he was awful against Manchester City, and Wilkinson said after the game when he was asked why he hadn't made any substitutions, he said because he didn't have a substitute goalkeeper. Just quite pointed. Yeah, even the saves, like you said, that weren't brilliant, just solid. And there was one in particular, I think it was, might have been Mike Marsh, makes a bit of room for himself and has a shot, and Lukic is just in the right place and just catches it, and it doesn't even bother him. And it's something about him being so tall, being so silent, having such a Lego haircut and being so sort of inscrutable that when he's not even diving to stop your shots, you could kind of feel the Liverpool players going, I would never going to get anything past him. Even though Liverpool, you know, ostensibly Barnes, Rush, Saunders, so they've got three good players. You'd think they would be able to score, and they do score, you know, they're a really strong team, but not strong enough to get a goal past Jovan.
I mean, there was one particular double save in front of the away fans that was just spectacular when he just timed it exactly right to get down to people's feet, no messing about. And it's put him in England contention for Euro 92, which we'll get to actually when we've finished speaking about the game.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did we have any chances in this, or was it all one-way traffic?
We had a bit. It did seem basically just kind of resisting. I mean, Cantona came on at halftime for Hodgson, and he had the big chance in right at the end of the game, when he went for spectacular rather than just kicking it in the nets. But yeah, it was mostly a case of just keeping Liverpool out.
Attempted scissors kick. That's quite a...
Well, he did do
quite,
the,
quite
did,
a way to win a game.
He did do the scissors kick. Unfortunately, he scissor kicked the ball like over towards Everton's ground.
It was better than Bruce Grobbelaar's in the first half when he'd come out to do a bit of sweeper keeping, and he tried doing the scissor kick and it went directly out of play, which was, I'm sure, not what he intended.
I think our attacking could maybe be summed up by one of Rod Wallace's best moments was getting back to the fullback position and absolutely snapping Rob Jones in two. Absolutely fantastic defensive tackle, conceded a free kick and then went and kind of, it's one of those, he kind of went over to Rob Jones, he's lying on the floor and just kind of smacked him on the ribs to say, oh yeah, you're all right. But if a fullback had done that to Rod Wallace, I don't think he would have liked it, but it was great.
In some ways, the best chances we had in this game were the ones that, where the final ball just wasn't quite good enough. Right at the death, actually, there was, it looked like we were going to put it onto Chapman's head. McAllister kind of burst through the midfield and all of a sudden it's clear. You can see Chapman in the middle and he just kind of duffs his cross and it's easily cut out. But it's one of those that when you can see it unfolding, you're thinking, we're going to be in it. And there was another one in the first half where, again, it was McAllister and he was he plays in Wallace and he's just, again, just in Wallace's cross is just away from Chapman. But as it's kind of unfolding, you're watching it, you're thinking, we're in it. This is it. It's going to be Chapman in the Chapman space and he's going to score. But we didn't serve him very well in this game.
Weird, isn't it? We've got fresh memories of what happened last season. And obviously the 5-4 was a close and one hell of a game. But Anfield, it was just one-way traffic last season. So you kind of don't want to repeat that. So you kind of get the slightly more conservative approach in this one, don't you? It does make sense a little bit. But you've also got one eye on what's going on in the Luton Man United game, which again, we'll wrap that up in a second. But it does add that extra layer of things you have to factor in.
It just went well with Fairclough made sure that John Barnes couldn't do anything that he did against us at Elland Road. And I thought John Newsome played really well as well. There was one beautiful sort of, he ran onto a through ball from Liverpool and just passed it back to Lukic, just taking charge the way, I think he's 21, isn't he? And then there was a great last ditch tackle, which one of the rare, John Lukic doesn't show much emotion unless he's kind of shouting at people for not putting the wall in position. But when Newsom slid in on, I think it was Saunders, right in front of him and cleared the ball away, even Lukic couldn't resist just going over to him and slapping him on the back. And then there was a queue of Leeds players, and that's almost as good as a goal, that tackle. Because the thing about this game is Liverpool, we've not beaten them for so long. They're a really good team, and I don't think we could count on calculating, oh, we'll win that match. The other games, Coventry and Sheffield United and Norwich, they're the ones where we can get results. And Chelsea last week, you can look at those games and say, right, win those matches. Anfield, such a tough place to go that if you can get anything from there, it's a bonus. And I think that seems to be the attitude of like, well, you know, obviously we'll win if we can, but let's just not lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which that pragmatism, not always enjoyed by everybody, is it? But under the circumstances, I guess you pick your battles, don't you? A couple of other points of interest in this, something you don't see very often, change of liner. The liner pulled a hamstring, went off, got replaced. And there was a moment where even when something's offside and everyone knows, like Houghton put the ball in the net, it still just gets your heart fluttering, doesn't it? Just that little bit that happened in the second half.
I mean, Lukic looks very casual as this hits the net. You can sort of tell, but he's thinking, just have I heard a whistle? I think I've heard a whistle. There was one in the first half where Chapman was offside, actually, and he looked onside and he was put through on goal, but I don't know if it was speed or someone maybe was kind of breaking through and they were offside as well, but I'm going to put it in the conspiracy pile.
Right, well, John Lukic, very much the star turn in this game, and it looks like actually his good performance in this, and therefore by maintaining our league title challenge, means that he's probably going to miss out on Euro 92. So England have got this friendly, like around the final week of the season, playing Russia. Now he's been told, you see this, to unofficially, he's been sort of been unofficially invited to apply for a visa and we'll see what happens, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But basically, they're not going to want to pull him, Graham Taylor's not going to want to pull him out of the Leeds squad to start travelling over to Russia for this friendly. So he's probably going to miss out on the Euros because the other keepers who are the understudy to the number one are all a bit so-so, like that Seaman, you know, the lad at Arsenal obviously replaced Lukic. He was really, really shaky when we played Czechoslovakia last month. And then other people that are in the names in the hat, Coton, who's at Man City, Tony Coton, and that Nigel Martin, who's at Crystal Palace, neither of which are going to be obviously required by the clubs with quite the same urgency as Lukic. So it's a bit of a shame that our good run and his good form means he's going to miss out on a big opportunity to go represent England.
It's an outrage that he's never won an England cap, even when he was at Arsenal. And even in his first spell at Leeds, he was probably good enough to have at least got a senior call-up. But the world, even when he's at glamorous favoured Arsenal, is just full of Leeds-hating bastards. So he's just constantly been overlooked. It shouldn't come down to him going to this friendly in Moscow or not. He should have been in the England squad 2 years ago when he first came to Leeds and was freed from Arsenal. Because he kind of ended badly with him at Arsenal because they tried to, George Graham tried to flog him or swap him with QPR with David Seaman, who he wanted instead, who was ironically John Lukic's understudy at Leeds back in the early 80s. So it's a weird, they've been circling around each other forever. And Lukic just flat out refused to go to QPR. So his last few months at Arsenal were awkward, where he'd been a magnificent servant for them. But George Graham had just made absolutely clear that he didn't want a brilliant goalkeeper. He wanted David Seaman, who's a less good goalkeeper. So then, yeah, someone came along and they signed Seaman and sold Lukic to us. But ever since he's come to us, okay, he's had the odd game here and there. Main role the other week was not great, but he's been absolutely magnificent. And it is incredible that he's not been in a full England squad and not had a cap. It's just, it doesn't make any sense when you see how good a goalkeeper he is.
Sorry for saying you were shit the other week.
Hey, that's the life of a football fan, isn't it? So what did Wilco have to say about this? Well, I think the quote that he's given us afterwards probably does tell the story about the pattern of play today. It's a good job that they are in the cup final, talking of Liverpool here. I wouldn't have liked to play them if that's what they're like when they're not trying.
Yes, because they've got the FA Cup final coming up against Sunderland, isn't it?
Mm.
So there was some talk of Liverpool being distracted by that. And he obviously said about our league campaign. He said, obviously, I would love to have won this game, but at this stage, you cannot start to make unrealistic demands or go for unrealistic targets when you don't have to.
That's the pragmatism.
I happen to think the situation is such that we don't have to. But if and when we have got to go for all or nothing, then we will go for it. So it's like, well,
coolest head in the house.
We don't need to beat Liverpool. We can still win the league. It doesn't matter. We could have just lost.
And do you know what? He's absolutely right, because Kenilworth Road, Man United couldn't beat Luton, 1-1 there. So it's pretty much as you were. So do you think, I mean, I know we're still behind them in the league, but is the approach today to be that little bit more defensive probably vindicated by that?
I mean, I don't think there's any way you could have, Wilco could have known that they would draw at Luton.
Well,
but now it's
he seems to be very.
He does seem to know somehow, but yeah.
There were some favours being called. Well, talk of favours being poured in, because we'd loaned Imre Vardy and Mervyn Day both to Luton, and they had Chris Kamara. So Kamara and Vardy were both playing against Scum. We've had Mervyn Day back. But David Pleat said before the game that Leeds have done us a tremendous favour by making these players available to us. It would be nice if we could repay Howard by beating Manchester United, but the main priority is doing it for our own sake. And then Chris Kamara was a little bit more bold about it. He just said, nothing would make me happier than to beat Manchester United. It would help Luton in our bid to stay up and give my old club more chance of the title. I had some great times at Elland Road where the fans were tremendous to me. While all my efforts are now spent trying to make sure Luton are in the Premier League next season, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that my old teammates win the championship. So we've had a little bit of help on the pitch out there.
So yeah, the league results then from the lead up to this and across this weekend, the Tuesday games, Luton 2, Forest 1, Sheffield United 2, Spurs 0. West Ham lost at home to Southampton 1-0. Then Southampton cruelly forced to play again on the Thursday at Man United and lost 1-0. Round to Easter Saturday, we have Chelsea 2, QPR 1, Coventry 0, Everton 1, Crystal Palace 0, Oldham 0. Us at Liverpool 0-0, Luton 1, Man United 1, Man City 2-0 against West Ham, Norwich 0, Notts County 1, Forest 2-0 against Aston Villa, 1-1 between Sheffield United and Arsenal. And Southampton made to play yet again, 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1 with Spurs 3-2 against Wimbledon. Leaves it tight at the top. It is still tight. We are second, Man United top, 38 played, 75 points. We have played a game more, 39, 73 points. Sheffield Wednesday, 39 played, 70 points.
Sit down, Sheffield.
It's getting...
It's nothing to do with you.
It's getting a little bit hairy, isn't it?
They can just stay out of this.
Poor old Southampton again. They've lost, haven't they, Sheffield Wednesday? They're the most tired team in the world, and they just keep playing teams we need to lose. Unfair.
Easter Monday, it's us against Coventry in 2 days' time. Man United have got Forest. Now, you know, they've just beaten Forest in the League Cup final, haven't they? The Rumble House Cup final, so you'd expect them to win that, but just fingers crossed that we get a Forest performance where they're out for a bit of revenge.
Brian Clough always looking to do Leeds a favour, you would think.
Yeah. Clough and Sons, they'll do the business.
Great bunch of lads, Moscow. Great bunch of lads. So still out of our hands, you still expect them to win it, but at least Wilco seems to be cool.
It could have been almost over today, couldn't it? Because it was quite conceivable we'd have lost, they'd have won, and then you're probably looking at too much to do. So it's not been a disaster.
I'm just looking at the fixtures for Monday, and let's not discount Sheffield Wednesday because they've got Norwich at home, which is pretty winnable.
Sheffield Wednesday go and win it now, it'll completely take the piss.
I think Wilco's got it right, though. I think his attitude is just presenting that, because we had all that bluster from Ferguson and Bruce at the start, you know, our squad's amazing, we'll win all these games, we won't have any problems. Wilco's just kind of saying, well, they didn't beat Luton, did they? So why put so much pressure on ourselves to go and try and get a win at Anfield if Man United aren't good enough to beat Luton?
Well, I'm glad he's confident anyway, because I'm not. Bloody terrifying.
It's good, though, because him projecting that kind of confidence, I think, is helping keep everybody on this side of the Pennines quite calm and not getting giddy the way that you sense coming from the northwest, where there's all that noise. Everybody's talking about Scum and, you know, the Wonder Rumblers, and now they're going to go for, they're in Europe and they're going to win the league title and all this kind of stuff. When Wilkinson's doing it right, it's going, well, let's see how good they actually are. And the results at Kenilworth Road suggests they're absolutely shocking awful. So 3 games left, we'll find out who's got the better team.
And rumours in the chart tomorrow, Easter Sunday special chart, going to be a new number one, they reckon. That, you know, Shakespeare's Sister's been top of the charts. It's 8 weeks, isn't it now? Something like that. Everyone's getting a bit sick of it. That's stay. Keep your eyes on the chart tomorrow. You never know what'll happen. All right. We'll be back Easter Monday, Coventry, tea time. We'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.